guess we'll have to redo it. Okay. Open your Bibles to Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel, chapter 12. How many of you too warm? Too cold? I know the rest of you are just right, so okay. And this is a very difficult time in the temperature in the building right now. We don't want to get it too hot, but it's cold outside. We don't want to get it too cold, but we have to have the heat on. We try to balance it. And the last few Sunday mornings, when I got done, I went back and looked. We're up at 75, 76 degrees. And in here, it should be at about 70 because of the body heat. So that's why I keep asking if you're too warm or too cold. And most of the time, I'm too warm. So anyway, we're in Daniel, chapter 12. I asked my wife, and she says, you know you shouldn't ask me. She'd have it 85 in here all the time. Daniel chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 4 through 13, the remainder of this chapter. And you say, then we're done with Daniel. I don't know. I think I have one more message, maybe two, on Daniel. But I hope you've enjoyed our journey. I hope it's helped you. Please listen to what I'm going to say. If you're ever going to understand prophecy, you've got to get a grip on Daniel. It's that simple. You know, we are so fortunate about the book of Revelation that we have. We can read the book of Revelation and see how God lays some things out. Daniel didn't have that. But God used him to give us these things because, and we're going to see this in our text tonight. Later, we're going to get the book of Revelation. We're going to start being able to put things together. Amen. All right, let's look at the text here, beginning with verse 4. He says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Lord, bless our study again tonight as we look to this passage, these prophecies, these truths. Oh God, cement them in our heart. Give us eyes of understanding. And Lord, help us to appreciate what you've done here. Appreciate what we have before us. The very timeline of this earth, of this race, of this humanity. Lord, you've privileged us to have this knowledge. But Lord, you don't want us just to have it. You want us to use it. So help us to see that tonight. Help me, as I want to share with my folks these truths, help me to be able to communicate what you've shown to me. In Jesus' name, amen. I struggle with a title for the message tonight. I thought about how to title it. It's about time. And there's a little pun in there because this passage talks so much about time. You see time mentioned over and over, and you see the length of days and those kinds of things. And it just brings back that idea of time. It's all about time. But then I thought, no, there's more than that. And so I titled it A Final Revelation here. A Final Revelation. Now, what we're reading is a continuation of God's revelation given to Daniel. What we're reading tonight, this actually began way back in chapter 10. Remember when Michael began talking with Daniel? Laying these things out to Daniel, do you remember that? This has been one continuous flow of prophecy given to Daniel, told to write it down. And I'm glad Daniel was faithful. It begins in chapter 10. It gives a timeline of coming events concerning the world and especially concerning the Jews. Now, in chapter 11, verse 36, and then going on to the end of the chapter, let me make a little note here that I didn't make before. On to the end of the chapter, in chapter 12, we find that God has given a revelation of the major events of the end times that can be summarized this way in about seven points. Number one, we see a world ruler is going to arise, the Antichrist. He's revealed. We see there's going to be a world religion. Of course, Antichrist is going to become the God that will be worshipped in this worldwide religion. There'll be a world war, Armageddon. There'll be a tribulation period. And that tribulation is going to be to the whole world, primarily to Israel. There's going to be a national restoration of Israel, and Jesus is going to give their land back to them. That is going to be their land. And then there's going to be a resurrection and a time of judgment. We saw that last time. A resurrection of the saved, the resurrection of the unsaved. And there's going to be a time of reward and a time of judgment. And then there's a reward for the righteous, especially those who are faithful to the end during the tribulation. And we've seen all that. Now, Daniel has presented a divinely inspired account of history and prophecy, and it's universal in scope. I want to share this with you. His prophecy encompasses the whole earth. It encompasses scenes of heaven. It encompasses the seen and the unseen. It encompasses the prophecy of future empires and kingdoms. And it goes into a panorama that reveals, like no other book in the Bible or out of the Bible, God's plan and God's program from the days of Daniel, 606 B.C. You ready for this? God has unfolded his timeline from 606 B.C. until, as best we know right now, at least till the year 3022. Now, I'm sorry, I miscalculated that. It'd be 25, 29. And you say, how do you get that? Well, we're in 2015, right? So we have to add 1,000 years. No, I was right the first time. And we get 35, 15, right? No, we get 25, 15. And then we add 7 because there's 7 years tribulation. And so that comes to 25, 32. So you can go around and tell people, I know the future from now to 25, 32. at least. Maybe if the Lord tarries beyond that. But if he would come today, we know what's going to happen from then. The world out there has no idea. Now we come to the end of Daniel's received revelation. And we read these final verses. As we do, we're confronted with the fact that Daniel really didn't understand it all. How many of you would agree? Daniel was a great man in touch with God, a godly man. Hold up your hand. Yet he didn't understand it all. What's the point? I don't understand it all. You don't understand it all. So don't feel alone. We'll talk about that. But Daniel didn't understand it all. Much of what he was given remained a mystery to him. And as I said earlier, we are so blessed today that we have the completed scriptures that enable us to see and understand and know so much more than Daniel could. We start with, oh boy, was Daniel blessed. God gave, hey, look what God's given to you. But one thing about Daniel, he appreciated it. All right, think about that. All right, we're going to look at these last verses. And we're going to talk about these verses, how they speak about the end times, the last days. And in them, we're going to see that we see some troubling truths along with some comforting exhortations and really some unchangeable promises. So, number one, I want you to look at a command given here in chapter four, or verse 4. He's told there by this Michael. He says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Now, in a cursory reading and without understanding, we would say, well, he's to seal this book so nobody reads it. That's not what God's telling him to do. Why would God give him the prophecy if he didn't want the people to read it? This sealing up has to do with authenticating, and the book is, I think, when God says seal it up, I think God is saying, okay, Daniel, this is the end of the book. There's no more. Seal it up. Roll the scroll up, Daniel. This is all I'm going to give you. I believe, and this is my belief, that he's telling him to seal the book, not hide it away, because God's message is given so people would know what God wanted them to know, but the book was to be treasured and protected and shared with the Jewish people. Now, the sealing of this book means that the full meaning and understanding of what Daniel wrote would not be understood until the time of the end. So God is saying, seal up the book, but it's not going to be understood now till end times like we have. Because without what God has shown in Revelation, without what we find in the New Testament, how are you going to understand all that's going on here? Jesus talked about that over in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 15, he said this. He said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Jesus said, hey, you didn't understand before what that's all about, but when you see that abomination of desolation, look at Daniel and see what he had to say about the whole thing. The sealing of the book until the time of the end. And the book of Revelation is key to understanding this prophecy. As I said, the Jews in the Old Testament didn't have what we have. And it indicates to us, because of all this, that the time of the end is at hand. You know, we talk about that. But do we really believe it? Think about it. Do you really believe it? Say, sure I do. Do you? Do you really believe that it could all end now and that fast? Do you believe it could be today? Do you really believe that we might not make it through next week? Do you really believe that all this is going to be done away? Amen. There's coming a day when this earth is going to be burned up, new heaven, new earth. Amen. Unlike anything we know. That's where we're going to live forever. Amen. New heaven. Notice it, live forever. Yep. We're not going to sleep. We're going to live. Do we really believe that? We say we do, but do you ever ponder it? Do you ever think about it? God said it's going to happen. We're so privileged to have what the Apostle John was given. And when he was given that book, it's interesting that when God gave John revelation, he told him, do not seal the book because the time is at hand. See, he told Daniel, seal up the book. It's not going to be understood until the end times. Well, now God says, here's the book of Revelation. Don't seal it because this is going to unlock some of those mysteries. Notice also that I believe it indicates that God's revelation to Daniel is complete. He's taken him right to the end times. He's taken him to the millennium. He's taken him to beyond that. There's no more to be added. And it brought me to this thought. God is the author of the book. As the author of the book, God alone has the authority to say what is in the book, what is not in the book. And God alone has the authority to say it's time to seal the book. Go to Revelation 22. This should be a passage that's very familiar to you. I would hope it is. But Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. God sealed the book of Daniel. He said, Daniel, time to seal the book. That's the end. There is no more. I've given you everything I'm going to give you. We get to the book of Revelation. We get to the end of the book of Revelation, and we find God sealing His Word. He said, nobody's to add to, nobody's to take away. Listen, God is the author of the book. People need to leave it alone. I don't understand why people would never dare to mess with Shakespeare's works. They would never dare to mess with any other author's books and works and add to them or take away. The author only has that authority, and yet people will mess with the Word of God. Who do they think they are? Seal the book. And I rejoice and praise God that He did seal it. That He put that in the book of Revelation to seal the Bible. And now I don't have to be concerned about, well, are these other pea brains that keep trying to correct God, are they right? I don't have to worry about that. These people that want to add to and take away. You know, these highfalutin theologians. Do I have to worry about that? No. Because the author sealed the book. We got it just like He wants us to have it. And you know, I don't understand. How can you make it any better How can you write it in a more beautiful language? How can you make it more understandable? We're told it's written on a sixth grade education. Well, we can't say that anymore. We used to graduate kids from high school who could read. Used to. That's another sermon. Let's move on. So he says, seal up the book. And then we see a very captivating picture presented here in the latter part of that verse. He says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. He's talking about the end times. He's talking about where this thing's going to go. Now, there's a lot of disagreement on over, well, is he talking about when it says run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased? Some people, and I don't have a problem with this, people want to believe it, they say, well, I believe that that's talking about the seeking of knowledge and people. It's the idea of the eyes that go across the page back and forth when you're trying to read and, you know, get knowledge. And that's what that's referring to. And you know, if somebody wants to believe that, I don't have a problem. I personally don't think that's what it's going on. I think he's talking about the end time. And how different things are going to be. And people are going to be running to and fro. Isn't that the description of our society today? People not very settled. People going here, going there. People separated. I thought about the idea of traveling today. People going to and fro. I thought about how many airplanes we have in the air at one time. Have you ever seen a picture of the United States and then all the blips of how many airplanes are over our country at the same time? It's absolutely amazing. What's amazing? That they don't crash more. Yeah. What are they all about? Why do we have all these airplanes? Because people going to and fro. Then we have trains, planes, cars. We even have space shuttles. People are booking their passage on space shuttles. People are trying to book passage to go to the moon. Old Ralph Cramden used to say he was going to send Alice to the moon. Only us old timers know about that. We're going to run to and fro. Our society is a very busy society. People are running constantly. He said it'd be that way. And then he said knowledge would be increased. Boy, if that don't describe our day. I say many times that I feel like a dinosaur. Some of us older folks feel that way because we're not technologically savvy like our young people are. Because we didn't grow up with it. It's amazing how you watch your 2-year-old great-grandson walking around with devices he's pushing like this. Now, he's not doing anything with them. He knows, you know, there's buttons now. I was at my brother's house and his grandson was there this a couple years ago. And I think he was 4 years old. He came in and he got his mom's phone and he picked up the phone and he hit the music thing and he put on music he wanted to hear. And I thought, I couldn't do that. Much of the technology of today we're just amazed at. Knowledge shall be increased. The wealth of man's knowledge has become unmeasurable. This computer age we're in has given us access to knowledge never before realized. You put a laptop on your desk and you have libraries of the world at your disposal. We see the computer age. We see the scientific discoveries that we have nowadays. We've split the atom. We found the DNA markers. We've perfected a computer chip. And we have so much knowledge. And man's always searching for more. It's interesting in the scientific realm. I'm always amazed. You know, they first found that humans have genes that biologically determine what we're going to be. You know, that was a big discovery. And now in our age, they found the DNA, and that's a big discovery. We know they're finding there are things beyond the DNA. And you know, all of that indicates there is a creator and a designer. Isn't it amazing? Man has all this knowledge and can't come to the truth. But he says it'll be a day of great knowledge, and we're in that day. I believe it. Good night. Somebody said this. From 33 AD to 1700, knowledge doubled. That's a long time. But then, from 1700 to 1900, knowledge doubled. And then, from 1900 to 1950, knowledge doubled. And from 1950 to 1970, knowledge doubled. And then beyond that, it's just out of control, so to speak, of how fast knowledge is going. But we learn more and more, but again, as I said, we never come to knowledge of truth. So we see he's talking about the end time here. Shut up the books till the end time, and in that time, many are going to run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. But then we get to verse 5, and we find a conversation heard. Now, if your Bible marks paragraphs, this begins a new paragraph. He's talking about something else now. He said, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on the side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said," oh, wait a minute, here comes a third one, "to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" So it's almost like Daniel's eavesdropping. He's not a part of this conversation. We have an angel on the bank of the river here. We have an angel on the bank. By the way, this is the Hiddekel or Tigris River. That's where Daniel was. There's an angel over there, angel over there. And here's this third one on the water. Who do we know that walks on water? Who do we know that's in the linen? Yeah. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's standing on the water. And these two men on the opposite shores, and then there's a question asked. How long, verse 6, shall it be to the end of these wonders? Now, Daniel didn't ask the question. The angel asked the question, which indicates to us angels are not omniscient. The angel's asking the question because the angels don't know. They don't know when a rapture is going to happen. They don't know when Christ is coming back the second time. They may know he is, but they don't know when. See, they don't have all knowledge, but Jesus does. That's why they're asking him. Which gives us proof it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, how long? And they want to know, when is all this going to happen? How long is this going to be in the future? And then notice the response he gives. Again, Daniel's kind of eavesdropping. The man really isn't speaking to him. He's speaking to the angel. He says, I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that liveth forever that shall be for a time, times and a half when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. Here's Jesus standing and he raises his hands in authority to heaven. And he's swearing by the very authority of heaven. And he says, right hand, left hand, swear by him that liveth forever. Listen, God cannot lie. And he's testifying by Almighty God, the Father, that this is true. And he's saying it's going to be, now he gives some revelation here, swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time and times and a half. And when he, that's the Antichrist, we're back to discussing him. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Here's the end of the end. What do you mean the end of the end? When Antichrist is dealt with. And his day's coming. So he says it's for a time, times and a half time. We've talked about this before. Time is 1 year. Times is 2 years. Years. Half a time is a half a year, so we got 3.5 years. And he's talking about the Great Tribulation. Now, the tribulation period is 7 years. You understand that. But when they refer to the Great Tribulation, it's referring to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period when things are going to really get bad. The Great Tribulation. Now, he's talking about when Antichrist will have scattered the people. And the holy people he's talking about is Israel. And it's talking about that time when he will turn on Israel and declare himself to be God and the abomination of desolation that's spoken of. But then look at verse 8. Now we see a clarification called for. Okay, get the picture. Here's Daniel. Michael's been talking to him. And all of a sudden he says, I saw an angel on the bank of the river here and an angel on the bank of the river here and one standing on the water itself, Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells me these things about the time and times and half time. And when he's crushed the people and destroyed the people or whatever. And Daniel says, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, pretty much seals it, doesn't it? Who's he speaking to? By the way, that is capitalized. If you got the right kind of Bible. If you don't, you need to go get one. O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He's saying, what's the purpose of all this, Lord? I don't understand all this. And I love the Lord's response. He says, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. That is almost anticlimactic. Daniel says, I don't understand. Tell me. And the Lord says, don't worry about it, Daniel. That's what he's telling him. Don't worry about it, Daniel. It's all written. It's all going to happen. Go thy way. He says, go thy way. You know what he's telling Daniel? He said, Daniel, don't be concerned about it. Don't worry about it. You just keep doing what you've been doing. You just stay faithful. You stay in your prayer closet. You stay in your worship. You stay close to me. You just keep doing what you're doing. I got everything worked out. That's what he's telling Daniel. How many times have we said, I don't understand? Is there anybody in here that understands it all? If there is, I need to talk to you. Because I got some places I don't understand. I've read some things and we're going to get to some of that in just a minute. But here's poor Daniel now. He's been given all this revelation. He don't understand it all. And he says to the Lord, what's the end of all it? Explain all this to me. And the Lord said, Well, here's what's going to happen, Daniel. No, no, no. He said, don't worry about it, Daniel. It's all written. It's all going to happen. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, that's what we need to do. We may not understand it all. We just need to keep being faithful. Keep doing what we're supposed to do. And listen, will you look at me for a minute? We need to learn to live what we already know. You know, the problem with most Christians is not what they don't know. The problem with most Christians is they're not living what they do know. Oh. Live what you know. You read the Bible. You know what God says. Live it. By the way, God's not going to give you any more until you're living what you know. Why should He give you any more? You're not doing anything with what you got. Hello. You say, oh, I want God to open things up for me. Well, God says, hey, live what you already know, and maybe I can open some more things for you. And understand, He's telling Daniel, the future is certain. I've got it all under control. And you know, we need to understand that a lot about the future is not revealed to us. Go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. Here's something Paul said. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly. Do you know what he's saying? We're seeing, but we don't see everything clearly. We have a little bit of sight, but it's not clear to us. But he says, but then, face to face, he said, when we get to glory, we may understand it all. But right now, we don't. There's much that we're looking through the glass, and we can't put the pieces together. And then he goes on, he says, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Listen, there are a lot of things we don't understand. And you know, I say, give me your Bible questions, I'll try to answer them. And sometimes I don't have an answer. We're going to see, I said, we're going to see an area tonight. But there's sometimes we just don't have an answer. God didn't give us all the answers. He gave us what we need to know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God. Have you figured out if you knew everything, you'd be God? Well, have you? If we knew everything, we'd be omniscient, which would make us God. And we're not going to know everything. But again, as I said earlier, practice what you do know. And then he goes on to, we see some coming results revealed here. He said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed time of the end. And he's talking about the time of the end now. He says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Okay. In the end times, he says there, many shall be purified and made white and tried. Now, the Lord has revealed that in the end times, trials are going to come to people on earth. And, of course, we're in those times. And when trials come, people are going to react one of two ways. These trials are going to make believers more powerful and more wise. Listen, trials in a believer's life are for a purpose. We as believers understand when we go through trials, there is a purpose for them. They're either to chasten us, get us right back where we need to be, or to purify us. Chip away some of the things that need to be chipped away to make us more like Christ. There's a purpose in our trials. And we understand that. We understand that God is working on me. We also understand the trials of life. How many times have you had unsaved people say to you, well, if there's a God, why is there sickness? Why is there death? Why is there child molestation? Why are their parents killing their babies? Why are all these bad things happening? Well, the answer is simple. It's because of sin. But see, they don't understand. They're saying if there's a God who loves people, why does he allow people to get cancer and die? Why does he allow babies to be born deformed? Why does all that happen? They don't understand. And we try to explain to them, well, it's because sin entered into the world. We understand. We know that God created a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden. And he made Adam and Eve, and he said, just take care of the garden. You can have anything you want there, but don't eat of that tree of life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you'll die. They disobeyed and they ate anyway. And death entered into the world. And death by sin. And they were put out of that perfect environment now into a world where there is trial and tribulation and difficulty. We understand. They don't. He says there, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But he says the wicked will do wickedly. I believe he's indicating the wickedness of the world would increase. Now, we all know the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So there are no new sins. A lot of different versions maybe of old sins. We look around, you know, we say, oh, this homosexual thing, isn't it? You know, it's just come on us. No, it's always been around. We're not the only generation that's had to experience the homosexual thing. Why, God talked about it back in the book of Romans chapter 1. I just heard that CD. We think about abortion. Abortion's nothing new. Huh? There's no new sin. But I believe the amount of sin has increased. And God said it, that's how it was going to be in the last times. 2 Timothy, go over there. I think you've probably read this yourself a few times. 2 Timothy 3. Wickedness is going to increase. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he describes what it's going to be like in the last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. You think that's true today? Well, sure, everybody's about themselves. Not about their families, not about their children, not about their mate, not about anything but themselves. What makes me happy? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Are we a materialistic society or not? We want everything. We don't want everything we see. We just see everything we want. We're trying to get more and more. This society's trying to get more and more and amass more. Hey, let me get on stuff for a minute. We're building warehouses so we can store our stuff. We got to go rent a space so I can put my stuff in and put a padlock in it and never go there for a year at a time. But it's my stuff. I got to fill my basement. I got to fill my garage. I got to fill my closets with stuff. Huh? How do you think Walmart exists? Because you got to have more stuff. Let me move on. Covetous, boasters. People bragging about themselves and promoting themselves. Look at the sports world. Look at the political world. Proud. No humility in our society today. Blasphemers. Throwing God's name around. Making jokes about God. Listen, I don't want to hear jokes about God. He's not something to be joked about. Disobedient to parents. Hey, wake up. The kids are running the show. Hey, outside of Christian communities where we know parents are supposed to be in control, to a large degree, the kids are running the show. Parents are afraid of their kids. Unthankful. Unholy. Pastor Meyer, what was that percentage up here? Unchurched Americans. Point seven. 47%. 47% of Americans unchurched. Think about that. That's almost half of all Americans. No church. Unholy. Don't care about God. Oh, goes on. We're not done yet. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means without self-control. That means you go into a mall and just start shooting people. That means you walk into a crowd with a bomb strapped to you and blow people up. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. You know what the world thinks of us. Now, we try to be good, and you know, I'm not trying to promote us, but we really do try to live for the Lord, and all we get is ridicule. They don't like us. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The wicked would get more wicked, and that's where we are today. Listen, growing up, I don't ever remember of a mother taking a gun and killing her kids. I don't ever remember hearing it. So many things growing up would never be imagined. But that's where we are. It's the end times. These trials are going to make the wicked more wicked. You know, one of the reasons the wicked get more wicked is they get angry about the trials. The trials don't cause them to come to God. The trials, because their hearts are hard, causes them to go further away from God. They won't see His being revealed. But I want to encourage you with this. We just keep looking up. I believe we're living in those last days. And, you know, you talk to anybody who reads the Bible and say, man, it sure looks like we're in the last days. But don't get discouraged with that. Listen, how much more deeper into this mess do we want to go? You hear what I'm saying? Don't be discouraged. Just keep looking for Him. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I've said many times, that's the Baptist prayer at the end of the month, you know, when there's no money for the bills. When the rent's due. But it should be our prayer all the time. And then notice, down here we see a continuing mystery. Verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be, now watch this, 1,290 days. Now, we said 3.5 years is how much? 1,260 days. Are you with me? This says 90 days. Why is there 30 extra days? Look at the next verse. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That's 75 more days. What's that all about? You ready? I have no idea. You ready? I haven't found anybody that has any idea. I found some speculation. You know, people say, well, I think maybe it's this and maybe it's this, but nobody knows. We know that the tribulation is going to end in 7 years. There's going to be 1,260 days of bad, 1,260 days of good, or good, and then the bad. 7 years total, it's going to end. But now we're talking about going beyond the 7 years, 30 extra days, 75 extra days. And nobody that I've found can give any scriptural evidence of what that's all about. Did we say the secret things belong to God? Did we say we're not going to understand everything? Now, as I said, some people speculate. Some people think it's going to take 30 days to clean up after the Battle of Armageddon. Some people it's going to take 75 days to get the temple all purified and everything in place, etc., etc. I'm thinking, hey, we're talking about the Lord here. He could do everything in an instant. So I don't know. I don't know. When we get to heaven, I guess we can ask the question. Until then, I wish I could give you an answer. All I can tell you is it's in the Bible. And it's after the tribulation period. Now, the timetable is given. 1,290 days. 1,335 days. But one final thing here in this chapter, a concluding promise. Verse 13. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel has just had the truck unloaded on him. He's been given all this truth, and there's a lot of negative there about what Israel's going to have to go through. He understands a little bit of it. He don't understand it all. But when God tells him to seal this thing, the last thing he says to him is, go thy way till the end. He says, because there's coming a day when you're going to rest, and you're going to stand in thy lot at the end of the days. There's a rest to be had. There's coming a day of deliverance, he's saying to Daniel. Hey, Daniel, the battle's going to be over. The victory's going to be won, and there will be an eternal rest. Now, listen, that don't mean we're going to do nothing forever. We don't believe in soul sleep. When he says rest, it means we're delivered from all the trials and tribulations and hurts and heartaches, and there's no more of that. Revelation 21 talks about that, when God will wipe away every tear. And then he says there's a reward. Where do you see that? He says to Daniel now, you'll stand in thy lot at the end of the days. I thought about that. Thy lot. What that says to me is, there's a place already prepared for Daniel. Thy lot. And I said, I think I read something about that over in John. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen to every believer, you have a mansion waiting for you. We have a time of rest coming. We'll be delivered from all this nonsense and sin and wickedness. And we have a place waiting for us, prepared for us. Now, I think Daniel's special place is not a mansion in glory. I think Daniel's special place is going to be here, in that promised land that God gave to them, in the glory land. And see, I believe one day God's going to bring Israel back, and they're going to have that land as theirs eternally. You know, when he gave it to Abraham, he gave it forever. And I think Daniel's going to have his particular spot in that promised land. I go back to the Old Testament. I just read through it again, and sometimes it gets a little dry reading there, where you're reading about the assigned territories of each particular tribe. And you know, they carved out a special place for Joshua. He had a special place carved out for him as the leader. I think maybe Daniel has a special place carved out for him. But let's just mark it down. God has an inheritance for his children, and we have a place waiting for us. Ours is a mansion. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Now, if you don't have the right kind of Bible, you don't have a mansion. So my Bible doesn't say that. Get rid of it. Get a good one. Because Jesus promised a mansion. He said, if it were not so, he would have told us. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. That's the promise. Hey, all these things are going to unfold, and we read about it. And I don't know about you, but it's not real pleasant to think about. That tribulation period and all that's going to go on there. And we read in Revelation how terrible it's going to be on this earth, and how Antichrist is going to take over and rule the world, and one world religion and one world economy, and Christians are going to be perfect. It's not very pleasant to think about. But God ends it with that promise. Daniel, you're going to have rest. And Daniel, at the end of days. Now, of course, Daniel wasn't going to live to see all this. At the end of his days, he'll have his law. And at the end of all this, when Israel's back in their place, he's going to have his law. Promise. I'm glad God gave us promises. And I'm glad, as much as there's a bleak, so to speak, future ahead for the world, and we're living in these days, the last days, where all these things we read about in 2 Timothy 3 are all around us, don't get discouraged. Don't think the enemy's winning. They're having their heyday, but payday's coming. Payday at the end of the road, Charlie, where you at? Payday for the wicked and payday for the just. And we're looking to our payday. Well, I want you to bow your heads for just a minute.